This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're making peanut Thai noodles with Gia Olive and Moses.
And Taj Paklab also joins us to teach us how we can gain strength to love even in the midst of someone's intentional destruction towards you.
Stay with us and be inspired. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. We are delighted to be starting our Monday morning with you.
Yes, we are. And did you know that December is a very special month for more than one reason? It happens to be National Spiritual Literacy Month. And this month challenges us to read at least one book that will deepen our walk with Jesus. And we'd like to, first of all, encourage you to read the Bible, the Word of God. And if you're looking for a book that's sure to strengthen your faith in the Bible, we recommend the book of John.
That's right. And in terms of other books that are sure to draw you near to Jesus, we recommend the book entitled Steps to Christ by Ellen G. White.
It's such a beautiful book. It's personally blessed my life in so many ways.
Amen. And whatever the case, as the year draws to a close, it's a great time to rekindle your walk with Jesus and recommit to Him your ways and your life.
Let us help you get started on today's program. Let's begin by
taking a look back at what happened on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1998, after nearly 14 hours of debate, the House of Representatives approved two articles of impeachment against President Bill Clinton, charging him with lying under oath to a federal grand jury and obstructing justice. In November 1995, Clinton began an affair with Monica Lewinsky, a 21-year-old unpaid intern. Over the course of a year and a half, the president and Lewinsky had nearly a dozen sexual encounters in the White House.
You know, it was a shameful time for President Clinton and his family. You know, to be held in such a high honor, in such a respectable position, and yet commit such an act of distrust. It was a hard thing for the American people to come to terms with. Have you ever been betrayed? The truth is that most of us have been to some degree or another. When someone betrays our trust, it's hard and sometimes even impossible to regain trust in them. It's because deep down we are afraid of getting hurt again. We are afraid that they will do it again. We feel exposed and unwilling to put ourselves in the position to be hurt yet again. And yet, that is what God does with us. He forgives us over and over again. He takes the chance with us over and over. He places himself at risk, knowing all too well how likely it is that we will once again betray his trust. But what a God we serve, friends. He does it for love. He knows that as we draw near to Him, as we realize and see how much He loves us, that we'll eventually love Him back. You know, so much so that we never want to hurt Him again. And friends, He longs for us to say yes to Him and His ways all the time. And won't you start today saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to a God who holds His arms open for you?
Amen. This morning, Gia Olive and Moses are joining us to share a kid-friendly, vegan-friendly, and delicious Thai recipe, peanut Thai noodles.
You like noodles?
Hi, everyone. Today we're making noodles.
Noodles? What sort of noodles? We're making peanut satay noodles. And a few weeks ago, we actually showed you how to make a really easy satay sauce using just a few ingredients, really quick. So if you need the recipe for that satay sauce, just go to our website on themumsatthetable.com and go into the recipe section, and you can see all our recipes from the past and future soon. So I'm actually going to cook up some tofu. We love tofu on our noodles. Plain tofu, it's firm, and I cook it on a non-stick pan until it's brown on both sides. The noodles we just soaked, you just follow the packet. We soaked it in hot water. You can use any noodle you like. I just look in my fridge and whatever veggies I have, I had some broccoli, I had some carrots and red capsicum. You can put green capsicum, whatever veggies you have. You can even use frozen veggies. Okay, so that's cooked enough. So what I do is I just put it aside in a plate, ready for frying off my veggies. And I'm just going to use a little bit of soy sauce. And I, with the soy sauce, it's probably just a tablespoon that I use with all these veggies. And I add a touch of maple syrup. Now, it's up to you how much you cook your veggies. I just like to cook them for a little bit. Okay, that's done. I'm going to put the noodles on the plate. There we go. Check that out. Delicious pad thai noodles. And I'm going to throw some of my veggies on top. Be careful, this is very hot, okay? So you just throw your veggies on top, on the side, on the top. I'm going to put a couple of tofu pieces on there. Delicious. And, oh, you guys are loving this satay sauce, aren't you? There you go. Then I'm going to pour some of my peanut sauce on top. And I'm going to throw some delicious shallots and some peanuts, crushed peanuts. Look how quick this dish was. It was like 10 minutes and you've got meals for your whole family. And delicious meals at that. Go to our website, themumsatthetable.com, and go to our recipe page and check out all these easy recipes for you and your family. We try to make healthy easy for you guys. Say bye.
Bye.
See you next time.
Are you enjoying today's program? Well, there's someone else that may enjoy it too, one of your friends. Visit us at our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. Look for us on Facebook and share the good news.
When we return, we're going to have another Reflections of Hope episode. What would you do if someone purposefully burnt down your house? Taj Pagleb experienced this when a known arsonist successfully burned down his family's house. Find out what Taj and his family did in the midst of pain and hurt on today's Reflections of Hope episode entitled Strength to Love.
Perhaps one of the hardest commands ever imposed upon mortal man is the injunction of Christ who said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now this doesn't come natural to the sinful heart. Naturally our hearts are bent towards self-love and self-preservation. Naturally hatred and vengeance is our first reaction to those who mistreat us and those who seek to do us harm. Love and forgiveness is usually not our first response. So how can we live up to this high standard of unconditional love that is set before us? Where exactly do we find the strength to love like this? And where is its source? It was about 8 months ago when I first met our new neighbor, Jonathan. He's a homeless man with major mental issues that decided to squat in this abandoned house next to ours. My first encounter with him happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. My grandma woke me up to inform me that some crazy guy had smashed the back of my car windshield. He wasn't trying to steal, he only wanted to destroy. The cops came to arrest him and took him to the mental hospital. What a terrible inconvenience. Can you imagine that? Rudely awakened in the middle of the night, then having to spend the next 2 hours cleaning my car of all the shattered glass before I was able to go back to sleep. Then I had to pay $498 out-of-pocket repair because it was just under the $500 insurance deductible, then waiting for hours for the repair, terrible customer service at Hawaii Subaru, and the list goes on. But that's not the end of it. My next encounter with Jonathan happened several months later when he decided to burn down this abandoned house that he was squatting in. Thankfully, the firemen came and put out the fire and the cops came to arrest him again. But it didn't stop there. About a month ago, Jonathan was successful in burning down this abandoned car on our street. He's been arrested over and over again, but each time he's let go because of his mental instability. Now you would think that the authorities could do better in keeping our community safe from a known arsonist who has a violent past, especially when there's so many children that live on our street. Somebody dropped the ball big time on this one, but that's another discussion for another time. But here's my struggle. and maybe you can relate. How do I love a neighbor that seeks to harm me? How do I bless someone that seeks to hurt me? Where does this unconditional love come from? And how do I experience it practically in my day-to-day life? The last time I saw Jonathan was just a few days ago, after he was arrested for starting another fire in the early hours of the morning. This time the fire not only burned down the house that he was squatting in, but the flames also spread to our own home, causing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage and a bunch of wasted time. Now, thankfully, we all got out and no one was seriously injured. But now our family has to completely move out of our home. We have to find another place to live for the next 6 to 12 months. And now we have to spend time that we don't have to rebuild our damaged home. To say that this was another terrible inconvenience is a gross understatement. Far more was at stake than our physical possessions. For if we had slept just 5 minutes longer, we could have very well have lost our lives. And worst of all, this tragedy was completely preventable if our leaders and representatives would have done something sooner. So what do we do now? My natural self wants to be filled with anger and frustration, especially when I see the damage it's done to my home and the hurt it's caused to my family. My natural self wants to complain and be upset not only with Jonathan, but with the city, the state, the bank that owns this abandoned home, the hospital officials, all those who seem to do absolutely nothing to prevent his dangerous actions. But then I think of the words of Jesus. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Here is the command of Christ. But the next part is the promise of power to fulfill the command. Because Jesus continued to say that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. You see, beloved, the power to love your neighbor as well as your enemy is found in remembering that this is exactly how God has treated us. He sends his sunshine and his rain both on the righteous and the wicked. He loves all of us the same, for his love is unconditional and his love is infinite. And friends, we can only love others because Jesus has first loved us. I begin to realize that what Jonathan has done to us, I have done the same to Jesus. By my foolish choices and actions, I have caused God so much pain. For it was my sins that nailed him to the cross. It was my foolishness that brought him agonizing pain and embarrassing shame. I was the cause of his suffering. I was the cause of his pain. And yet this same Christ was still able to look upon me with eyes of infinite love. While I was yet living in my disobedience, crucifying him afresh by my sins, he was able to look upon me in compassion and pity. Even when I held the hammer in my hands, getting ready to nail him to the cross, Jesus looked upon me in love and he prayed for me. He said, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And by the power of his love, Jesus extended mercy to me. He loved me even when I hated him. He gave to me not what I deserved, which was death. He gave me that which I needed, which was amazing grace, marvelous mercy, and eternal life. Thank you, Lord. When I think about what my Lord has done for me, how can I do anything less for others? How can I withhold forgiveness from someone who's wronged me when Jesus has forgiven me so freely? And yet I've done far worse to him. As I swept up the broken glass on the ground months ago, and as I sweep up the charred wood and the toxic ashes of my home today, God is also sweeping up the anger and frustration from my heart. By focusing on the cross, I'm finding supernatural strength and power to love. And what a precious lesson God has been teaching me. But it's the same lesson he's teaching all of us today. My friend, is there someone that needs your forgiveness? Someone that hurt you, that needs your grace? What God has done for you, you can do for others. Just open your heart and let God pour out his love in you and through you. Allow him to make you a channel of healing love to someone today. And remember that when your life is shattered like glass and your hopes are reduced to ash, God is always there to clean up the mess and to remove all the stress. Now, we may not be able to trust presidents and politicians and the police and even pastors to fix our problems, but there is a God that we can trust to keep us strong in the most trying and difficult hour. And so never forget that heaven's blessings will always outweigh life's difficulties, because no matter how hard or hot it gets, we are blessed more than we deserve, and we're surely blessed more than we realize. So when you're tempted to be discouraged and complain about your situation, first count your blessings and recognize that it could be worse. And thank God that there are blessings even in brokenness. And in the weakness of our sinful humanity, never forget that the strength to love the unlovable and the unlovely is found in the God of infinite love.
When we return, Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional message. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us. It's now time for our devotional thought. It will be brought to us today by our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
Are you struggling right now to know God's plan for your life? Perhaps you remember a time when you felt sure about what He wanted from you. But now, maybe you think it's too late for you. You've messed up. You've fallen too far from God. Well, if you're feeling that way, I'm here today to tell you that thinking is wrong. And there's a wonderful account in the Gospels that shows us that we are never beyond Jesus' reach. Well, one night on the Sea of Galilee, a storm blew across the waters. The disciples were terrified and they woke Jesus. He calmed the storm and he calmed his disciples' anxious hearts and minds. Well, early the next morning, they landed on the other side of the sea in the country of the Gerasenes. Now, as Jesus and the disciples stepped onto the shore, immediately a man rushed at them. The disciples, still weary from the storm the night before, they must have shrunk from him. You see, the man was naked and was clearly not in his right mind. He was homeless, living among the tombs by the seaside. And he was also an outlaw. He'd been bound by chains, but had managed to break them and go free. Likely, pieces of those chains still hung around his wrists and his neck. This wild man was dirty and blood-splattered. He cut himself with stones. His mind was tormented by the demons that possessed him. Now, the disciples may have tried to pull Jesus away from this violent, deranged man, but Jesus didn't shrink from him. This man had been taken over by an evil spirit. Jesus commanded the spirit to leave him at once. Luke chapter 8 tells us this. When he, the deranged man, saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he, Jesus, was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Well, when the man cried out and fell before him, Jesus saw the man before the demons took over his life. He saw the cry for help. The demons hadn't won. There was still a man that he could save inside that blood-splattered shell. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The man was possessed by not one, but many evil spirits. He knelt on the sandy shore before Jesus. And in the presence of God, the demons begged for their lives. They didn't dare to ask Jesus to let them stay inside the man. But spotting a herd of pigs, they begged to enter them instead. And glancing at the herd of 2,000 pigs, Jesus nodded, and he said to them, "Go." Now, with that command, the demons left the man to collapse on the sandy shore. And the pigs, terrified, they rushed down a steep bank and right into the lake. There, they sadly drowned. Now, the disciples and the pigs' herdsmen, they witnessed this entire scene. The disciples must have crept back toward Jesus and the newly calmed man. One of them gave him his tunic, another his cloak, and clothed the man sat up. He must have stared at the disciples and at Jesus as if coming out of a fog. His own mind, his intellect, and his emotions returned to him. Now, the swineherdsmen didn't stay to watch the man's transformation. Terrified at the loss of the pigs, they fled to town. Telling everyone, soon a crowd rushed toward the seashore. They all knew about the deranged man. He was a menace. Yet now they witnessed him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And the townspeople, they were terrified. The herdsmen and the disciples told the gathering crowd about how Jesus had healed the man. But the townspeople weren't moved with compassion. They were afraid, afraid likely in the face of such a display of godly power that something might befall their flocks or even their families. And desperately afraid, they asked Jesus to leave. Well, Jesus agreed, and as he and the disciples climbed back into the boat, the now healed man clung to him. He didn't want to be separated from his Savior. He begged Jesus to take him with him, and Mark tells us what happened. And he, Jesus, did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. You know, the healed demoniac wanted to be with Jesus, but Jesus had another plan for him. He sent him back to his friends and family with a mission to tell them exactly what had happened to him. The healed man became the first missionary to Decapolis. He hadn't sat with Jesus or heard his parables or his sermons, but he had a powerful message to share. His own body and mind were a testament to the fact that Jesus was Messiah and that he had the power to change lives. The man shared what each of us who are believers can share. He told the story of what he experienced and felt through the power of Christ. And later, when Jesus returned to Decapolis, he had a warm welcome. People thronged to hear his messages. The healed man's testimony had made a difference. So why did Jesus sail across the Sea of Galilee that morning? To find this man, a man burdened by the effects of sin and evil. Yet he wasn't out of reach for Jesus. He wasn't too far gone for him to use. And one of my favorite authors puts it this way, "And souls that have been degraded into instruments of Satan are still, through the power of Christ, transformed into messengers of righteousness and sent forth by the Son of God to tell what great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you." Are you struggling to hear God's voice, his plan in your life? Well, it's never too late. Fall before him. He can see the woman or the man that you once were or want to be for the very first time. He has a plan for you. Well, Hope Channel family, let's pray together this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for this reminder of just how far you will go to save one of your children. Lord, just as you were not repelled by the man possessed by many demons, you're not repelled by us. Even when we're blood splattered, bound by chains and living in a fog, Lord, thank you for still having a plan for us. Amen. Well, naked and out of his right mind, the demoniac fell before Jesus. And in that moment, his life was transformed. Turn to Jesus. As long as you have breath, it's never too late for him to save you. While we at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day, thanks for starting your day with us.
Thank you so much for that encouraging message.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us here today and watching Wake Up With Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And tomorrow morning, guess where we'll be? We'll be right here looking for you. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought We'll have a dedicated prayer session and music by Endless Praise. Be sure to tune in. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you want to learn more about the Bible, Hope.study is the perfect place to go for your free Bible study guides.
You know, we have gotten reports from many, many people that these free Bible study guides has helped them connect with Jesus.
Yes.
And that's why we encourage you, or we invite you, to check these out. Again, it's Hope.study.
And what a blessing today's program has been, friends. My heart has been warmed and filled, and we hope you were also blessed.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. Today's Bible promise comes from John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3.
It says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am."
Amen. What a precious promise. He will, friends, will come again.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, if this was the only verse in the entire Bible that we had to hold on to, it would be enough to know that you are preparing a place and that you are coming back again. We pray, Lord, that we would take this verse to heart, that we would take the music that we heard today and keep it in our minds, and the devotional, everything that we receive today, Lord, we embrace. And we pray, Lord, that we would refer back to it and ponder it again and again throughout this day, keeping our hope in Jesus. And we pray that you would just keep us strong as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.